How many of you this morning, you're saying, hey, I am really tired today. Whoa. But you're saying, hey, with God's strength, I'm going to have energy for today, and I'm going to be fired up. That was pretty weak there. Let's just go, yeah! Okay, you're ready. Now, stand up. Just stretch out there a little bit. Stand up, stretch out. Yawn a little. Don't hurt yourself. Cramp your muscles. Stretch out. Kind of give somebody a back rub there. I'm going to tell you what'll really set you free. Give me a little earlobe rub there. A little of this action here, that'll do it for you.
A little ear action.
That's right. All right, you guys ready to go this morning? Okay, let's go. How many of you guys, when your dad goes somewhere, he always likes to take shortcuts? And rarely do they ever work out to be shortcuts, right? I remember I used to ride with my dad, and he'd say, oh man, we're going to take a shortcut. I'd say, no, really, really, we probably shouldn't do that. He'd say, no, man, I know exactly where we're going. And so we'd take off. You know where you're going, Dad? Oh yeah, man, we got it. I know exactly where I'm going. And we'd take off and we'd go and we'd finally end up. My mom kept saying, "Well, just stop and ask. Just stop and ask." And no, man, we'll get there. And finally, you know, your destination is Disney World, and you're going toward Washington D.C. You know, and you're saying, "This is really stupid." You know, and you know the interesting thing is though that how many of you have dads that do that? Most of your dads do that. My dad used to do that. It's really amazing. I do the same thing. I think it's something in the family or something. I don't know. It's just something with dads. But dads like to take those shortcuts, but rarely do they ever work out because you somehow, in taking a shortcut, you don't exactly get to your destination. You think you're going to get there quicker, but there are really no shortcuts. And so one of the interesting things that I found, especially when we're talking about our destiny and where we're going and what we're doing, you know, a lot of times we know what the destination is. We know what we're trying to get to. But because we're taking shortcuts, because we don't know exactly how we're going to go or what the roadmap is, and we're not following the roadmap, a lot of times we get off course. We know what the destination is. But man, we're not going over here. We're going over here. We're headed for Disney World. But actually now we're going to Washington, D.C. So what I want you to see this morning is this. We're going to answer question number 3. How am I going to get there? It's one thing to know who you are, and who you are is tied up with being what? In Christ, right? Who am I? I am?
In Christ.
All together now, I am?
In Christ.
That means Christ is in me and I am in Him. My identity is tied up in that, my self-esteem, my self-worth, my value. It's not tied up in whether I'm a good athlete or not a good athlete. It's not tied up in whether I'm beautiful or not beautiful. It's not tied up into whether I'm popular or unpopular. It's not tied up into the shape of my figure or the physique of my body. It's not tied up in whether I've got zits this week or don't have zits this week. It's tied up in who Jesus is in me. That's what my identity is. I am in Christ. Now, not only am I in Christ, that's my destiny, but my destination is, remember, to live to the praise of His glory. Let's say that together. To live to the praise of His glory. In other words, my whole purpose in life is to live in a way that really reflects Him. Who is He? And who He is, that's who I want to be. Now, how do I do that? Just by trying harder? No, I don't do it by trying harder. I do it because I have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ living in and through me. And so as I begin to pursue that destination of to live to the praise of His glory, then I've got to know somehow how I'm going to get there. How am I going to get there? So we talked the first day about who am I? I am in Christ. Second day, we said, hey, what's my destination? Where am I going? I'm going to live in a way that pursues His glory, that reflects Him. I understand a little bit more now about my personality and how God created me in a unique way. I understand where I'm going in the sense that I've begun to discover what my purpose in life is. And now today we want to look and see, you know, how am I going to get there? Now, in order to do that, here's what I want to do. I want you to turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We looked at that for just a minute yesterday, but I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's one of the great verses in the Bible because I think it speaks to you as a high school student and says to you that all that's going on around you in this culture that is saying, hey, be alike, look alike, dress alike, wear your hair alike, do alike. And even in our, even the whole alternative deal, the grunge thing, even all those people are alike, you know? And so nobody really is expressing your uniqueness because your uniqueness doesn't have anything to do with the way you dress or how long your hair is or, you know, whether you're into this alternative stuff or not. Really, your uniqueness is tied up in who you are as a person. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says that for by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. It's not something that we do, but something God does. And grace is a wonderful thing. Grace, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up as a Baptist, and most of you in here may be from that background. How many Baptists we got in here? Okay, we got about two. Okay, so if you grew up as a Baptist, or if you grew up in even any other denominations, you know, how do you, especially if you're from the South, or you're from, you know, some evangelical background in the North, Northeast, or whatever, or Southwest, whatever, here's the deal. You grew up thinking, hey, you know, the way you get saved is by God's grace. But then, once you become a Christian, here's what you do. You start working your way and earning your way, and you have to perform for God to be a good Christian. And a lot of us have lived like that most of our Christian lives. Yeah, when I was 8, I got saved by God's grace, and now I've been working really hard to get God's approval ever since. I got saved when I was 10 or 12 or 15 or made a commitment at church camp last year to let Jesus live in my life. But now, man, I really got to try hard to live for God and be everything He wants me to be. See, that's the total antithesis of grace. Grace says, no. Here's what grace is. You want me to give you a definition of grace? Great definition of grace. Grace is God's supernatural ability in me through the cross and the resurrection. God's supernatural ability in me. Who am I? I am in Christ. Because Christ is in me and I am in Christ, I have the grace of God living in me. And that is all I need. The grace of God is sufficient to meet, the Bible says, to meet every need that I have. And the grace of God is what's going to give me the ability to live out my destiny, my destination, and to answer the questions, who am I, where am I going, and then to tell us how we're going to get there. Okay, now, watch this. Go to verse 10. Because verse 10 is 1, 8, 9. A lot of people have learned those verses, but verse 10 gets skipped over, and it's one of the key verses because it's the result of living by God's grace. When you get Christ living in you, the result of that is going to be for you, and this is very applicable for today. When the grace of God is living in you, then you are His workmanship, it says there. We are His workmanship. We are His unique work of art. You go out here and look at a painting, a beautiful painting, you see that painting, and you say, man, that's gorgeous, that's unique. You know, whoever painted that really was creative. See, that's what God did with you. Each one of you are a unique painting that God has done, a unique work of art that He has created. And each one of you reflects His beauty, reflects His glory, reflects the wonder and creativity of God in a real special way that nobody else reflects. You're His unique workmanship. He's got a unique plan for your life. He's got a unique roadmap for you. He's got a unique plan and way for you to go, a path to travel, so that as you travel down that path in life, He's going to use you to do some things to glorify Him that He can't do through anybody else. But as long as you're trying to be like everybody else, as long as you're trying to be somebody else, as long as you're trying to measure up to somebody else, as long as you're trying to earn your way to God, you'll never have the freedom to be the unique person that God's created you to be. And so what we want to do here this morning is to discover, you know, some ways. I want to show you the roadmap by which you get to your uniqueness. How you can become that unique work of art that God created you to be. See, the interesting thing is, when you start off on your destiny, and we look at being in Christ, that's sort of your destiny. That's sort of down the road, or that's some big picture thing. Then we look at our destination, okay? Our destination is to live to the praise of His glory. You know, I've got to learn how to behave myself, how to live in the right way in order to get to that destination. But then what's the actual road? What's the route that I travel? I need this road map here. Where's the road map that's going to get me to the place that is my unique destination? Not the destination that everybody's going to as a believer, which is heaven. We're all going there. You know, not just God's general purpose for my life to know Him and make Him known, but what is my specific purpose? And then what is my unique, what's the unique roadmap that God has for me to get me there? Well, I spent a number of years of my life trying to figure that out for myself and finally ended up writing in this book called Life Happens, Get Ready. And we'll have those for you out there hopefully by the time this session is over. They're coming here today. But I spent about 2 years of my life working on this whole issue and subject and writing it for you after lots of years of trying to figure this out for myself. And finally figured out that there are 9 destiny deciders. I don't know whether we've got the, or we, do we have those up there? That's not gonna work. That's okay. I can just give them to you. I want you to write these down, okay? I want you to write these down. And we're going to go through them quickly, and then we're going to, you'll see how this fits together in a minute. Just write these down in terms of 9 destiny deciders that are going to help you discover the unique roadmap of who you are. If you know these 9 things, you will know how to find out 80% of all that God has for your life. I can't tell you from these 9 destiny deciders, I can't tell you exactly who you're going to marry. I can't tell you exactly what your career is going to be. I can't tell you exactly what you ought to major in college. But I can lay a platform for you, and the Bible lays out a platform for you to understand who you are as a unique person and begin to move in that direction. So we're going to begin to move down the road toward the destination of living to the praise of His glory in Christ. Here are the 9 destiny deciders. The first one is personality. We've already looked at that. So one of the 9 destiny deciders, you've already got a running start on. Probably some things you can learn more about that, but you got a running start on it. Number 2 is spiritual gifts. What are your spiritual gifts? And how can you use them? See, spiritual gifts are the things that motivate us spiritually. For example, I can go and work in my office for 8 hours during the day, and when I come out of there, I am totally and absolutely exhausted. Because I do not have the gift of administration, the Bible talks about. It's not one of my gifts. But you put me in a situation like this where I'm speaking to people 2 or 3 times a day, and I can go 18 hours a day, work on 6 hours sleep. I can do that day after day after day. And the further I can leave home being tired, I can come back being totally refreshed. Because why? I am operating by the spiritual gift of exhortation and encouragement that God has given me to pass on to you. So I can do that all day long and never get tired because that's what motivates me. See, what's your spiritual gift? You know what your spiritual gift is? You know what your spiritual gift is and you operate in it, then it's the thing that motivates you, gives you encouragement, kind of keeps you pumped up and moving on in your Christian life. Number 3, what are your abilities and experiences? We're going to look at those more closely this morning. What are your abilities and experiences and how can you maximize them? Number 4, what's your motivation? What are your passions in life? I mean, what is it that you can get passionate about? And then commit yourself to what you can get passionate about and give yourself 100% to it. And then number 5, sort of this little turn here. Those 4 have to do with, kind of who you are as a person. And these help you find your uniqueness as that person and move down the road to getting toward these other things. And that is, what's your purpose in life? We looked at that yesterday. How do you discover it? You guys have already gotten a running start on that. Number 6, what are your values? What are your 6 core values in life, and how do you define those? In this book, we help you discover what are your 6 core values. What is it that you really highly value in your life? The 6 values that you can build your life on and know that you never have to waver from those, can always live by those, base your life on those, build your family on those, raise your children by those. And know that if you do that, you're going to be on the right track in terms of your life. What are your values and how can you define them? Your values may not be the same as mine, so it's not like here are the six values. But how do you find the 6 unique values that belong to you? Number 7, what are your goals? and how can you reach them? Setting goals is a big part of knowing what your uniqueness is and getting there. How do you time? What about your time? How do you use your time? What time do you have? How do you use it? Do you waste a lot of time? Yeah, you do. A lot of times the reason you waste time, because you don't know what your purpose is in life. A lot of times the reason you waste time is because you don't know what your values are. A lot of times you waste time because you don't know what your goals are. You waste time because there's nothing else to do with your time. Once you know what your purpose is, once you know what your values are, once you know what your goals are, then man, you're going to be fired up about spending your time in exactly the right way that's going to be used in the best possible way. That's not that you don't need relaxed time, you do. That's not wasted time. Relaxed time is not wasted time, but as everything is moving you toward your purpose and God's goals for you. And then the last one is this. The last one is decisions. Number 9, decisions. What decisions do you need to make and how do you make those decisions down the long haul of your life? A little phrase in there that we use called you make your decisions and then your decisions make you. You make your decisions make you. Decisions that you're making right now in your life, those little things that seem to be little decisions about who you're going to date, just going to go out this Friday night with this guy, doesn't matter if he's a Christian or not a Christian, doesn't really matter. Those little decisions make you. You make those decisions make you. See, it does matter. Those little decisions do matter. And the truth of the matter is, as you make those little decisions, the bigger you make them on the basis of some decision-making principles, and as you make bigger decisions, you make those on the basis of those same principles, all of a sudden you're making big, little bad decisions, then you make big bad decisions. So how do you make decisions in a way that's going to get you to God's unique plan, roadmap for your life? That's what that book's all about. 9 destiny deciders. 9 ways that you can know that to answer the question, how am I going to get there? What's my purpose? Who am I as a person? Who am I? I am in Christ. Where am I going? I'm going to live to the praise of His glory. How am I going to get there? Through discovering my unique roadmap through these 9 destiny deciders, two of which you've already worked on this week, gotten a good run and start on, and a third one we're going to work on starting right now. So let's turn toward practical application here. How am I going to get there? And I want to take just one area this morning, and that is your abilities. There's a chapter in here on abilities and experiences. We're not even going to look at experiences. I don't think we even put that in your book, do we? You can look there and see. There's an ability survey and experience survey we'll get to in a little bit. But I want to talk to you just a few minutes about abilities. And then when you get into your small group, you're going to work on discovering what your abilities are, okay? And I just want to lay out here for you just a little bit about your abilities. And the whole idea, remember, this is just an illustration. This is one of these 9 areas that we're taking as an illustration this morning to look at and say, hey, if you can work on this and you can discover this, then the truth of the matter is that as you go through this whole book, you'll have a whole picture put together. Whole picture put together about this thing. Because, see, here's what we do in this book. This is one part I didn't tell you about. This is probably one of the most exciting things, but when you get to the end of this book, there's a final chapter in that book on integrity. Everybody here, how many of you here want to be a person of integrity? You want to be a person of integrity. You know what integrity is? Integrity comes from the mathematical word integer. Integer means taking all the fractions and putting all the fractions together as parts to make the whole. So an integer is a fraction, it's a part. And see, what you have in this book is you have all these different fractions and little pieces of the puzzle, little parts of the roadmap that all fit together. And so we take these 9 destiny deciders, personality, spiritual gifts, motivations, abilities and experiences, purpose, goals, values, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you take all these things and they're all little integers, they're all little fractions, and you bring them all together at the end of this book and you put them all together in this picture of what we call the visible person, okay? The person that you are, the unique person that you are. And at the end of this book, you can look back and you can say, oh yeah, that's who I am. That's my unique roadmap. That's my uniqueness. It'll tell you about 80% of all that you need to know about yourself. Because at the end, we take these 9 things and we integrate them into the total picture of who you are. And you walk away from this book saying, hey, I know. I know where I need to be headed with my life. I know the road I need to be traveling now because this is the unique person that I am. Abilities is one of those. Abilities is one of those. Now, there are a lot of people in here who think that you don't have any abilities or that your abilities are very limited. There are others of you in here who think that you have huge amounts of abilities and that you're a very talented person and that you can handle this quite well by yourself. Thank you. And so we've got both those kinds of people in here. So what I want to do this morning is I want to do give you a little illustration. Then we're going to look at two people in the Bible to contrast those. Now, here's what I want you to see. Watch this. When I was growing up, I used to read comic books all the time. Any guys in here into comic books? You still into comic books? That's pretty much on the... That's kind of went out with Spider-Man, you know? But some of you are still using... Anybody here have a collection of comic books? I used to collect those babies all the time. I had just huge stacks and stacks of comic books. One of the fascinating things about these comic books was that every comic book had one common feature. Any of you guys know what that was? When I was younger, had one common feature, and really, all the way up to just recently, I don't think they do this anymore, but all the way up to just recently, the same ad was in every one of them. It was the Charles Atlas ad. The Charles Atlas ad was an ad that had a picture of a real skinny guy with a beautiful girl, and they're out on the beach. Frame one. Frame two, this big muscular guy comes walking down the beach. Frame three, the big muscular guy kicks sand in the face of this little skinny guy. Frame four, the big muscular guy is walking off down the beach with the beautiful girl. Frame five is a picture of this guy going home and kicking his chair. The skinny little guy, he kicks his chair and says, I am sick and tired of being a 6 foot, 90 pound weakling, okay? And then the next picture is him ordering this Charles Atlas kit. The next picture is of getting this kit and working out on it, you know, working his body out, you know? And so he does this for about 6 weeks, and the last frame is a picture of this new hulk of a guy out there on the beach. Taking the girl back, beating up this other guy and taking the girl back. And I used to read that cartoon, that ad, cartoon kind of ad thing, and I'd look at that and I'd say, and I read it every time. It wasn't like I just sort of read it once, you know. Every time I went through that, through a comic book, I read that thing frame by frame. And I finally figured out later on, I figured out why I did that. And the reason I did it was because I kept thinking, you know, I'm tired of being a 6 foot, 90 pound weakling. I wrote off for that Charles Atlas kit. Worked out with that thing, and obviously it did me no good, okay? But the point was, I really wanted to change myself. I didn't like the way I was, and I wanted to be different than I was. I looked at my body and said, there ain't much there, and I want to change that. And a lot of us, as we look at our abilities, we look at ourselves and we say, you know, I don't have very many physical abilities. I'm not a great athlete. I don't have very many spiritual abilities. I'm not a musician like this. In fact, I have trouble even turning on the radio and playing the thing. I'm not really good at this stuff, you know? I'm not good. I don't have many abilities. There was a guy in the New Testament like that. His name was Simon Peter. Simon Peter, one of the qualities of Simon Peter was that he had the foot and mouth disease. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. Remember when he and James and John went with Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus is having this incredible spiritual experience. It's about 1,000 times more dynamic even than we had last night. And here are Moses and Elijah and Jesus and this big heaven thing coming down to earth sort of deal. And Peter looks at that and he says, Jesus! Whoa! Great! This is exciting, man! Let's build a tent up here so we can stay up here and remember this. Jesus is saying, oh man, Peter, you just missed the whole thing. I mean, the guy just stuck his foot in his mouth. Only time he didn't have his foot in his mouth was taking one out to put the other one in, you know? I mean, you look through the New Testament, he was doing that constantly. Always talking when he shouldn't be talking. And then he had, and it's one thing when people talk when they know what they're talking about, you know? If people talk too much, at least they know what they're talking about. Peter had an IQ just above plant life. I mean, he was not an intelligent guy. And so as a result of that, he was always saying, not just saying stuff, but he was saying dumb stuff. You ever do that? You ever feel like, man, I'm just saying, you know, I just say dumb things. People look at me and say, that guy's stupid, you know? You ever feel like that? Just don't have any abilities? You feel like that? Good for you. See, a lot of times you just feel that way. You just say, hey, you know? I'm laughing, nobody else is laughing. You know, I just feel dumb, you know? And so as a result of that, Peter was like that, you know? He was rude and crude. I mean, he was not a sophisticated, mannerly type person at all. When Jesus made clear to his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem to die, Jesus, what did he do? He says, Jesus, come over here. Got him over, took him, put his arm around and said, Jesus, now let me tell you something. I understand what you're saying to these guys, and I know that you're telling them that we're going to Jerusalem to die, but you and I know that's just not the case. So let's just get it straight right now. So Peter tries to straighten Jesus out. Just rude and crude, brash, saying stuff like that all the time. And you look at this guy and you're saying, man, he had very little ability. He's a very undisciplined person, very little discipline in his life. You know, he's with the other disciples, and Jesus says, hey, stay right here. The Garden of Gethsemane, stay right here. I want you to watch and pray just about 30 minutes. I want you guys to stay right here and just stay awake, watch and pray. Jesus walks off. He hadn't been 20 yards away, and they're going, you know, all of them. Comes, but Jesus comes back and says, could you guys just stay awake and stick with me? This is the most biggest crisis of my life. I need you guys to stick with me. He walks off 25 yards. They're sleeping. Does that three different times. Jesus finally comes back and says, hey, man, it's time to go. We got to go, you know. He's looking at Peter saying, gee, what is the problem with you and your buddies here? You know, and then Peter was filled with fear. He was a guy who was fearful. Maybe you feel that way sometimes. He was filled with fear. In spite of Peter's weaknesses, with Peter's weakness, along with his weakness, was the fact that he was a fearful, fearful person. You know, everybody else had said, hey, Jesus had said, somebody's going to abandon me. And Peter said, hey, I'll never abandon you. He says, I'll go with you, whatever. Hey, Jesus, I'm with you, man. I'm going. We're going together. Hey, let's go. Not 8 or 10 hours later, the cock crows for the third time, and Peter, for the third time, denies Jesus. Because he was afraid of a little seventh grade girl that says, hey, you're with him. Aren't you with him? Aren't you with him? Peter starts cussing. He says, no way. See, here's a guy that's very much like you and me. You look at him and you're saying, you know, how did God build his kingdom on that? When God said, you know, Peter, you're the rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. You're saying, Jesus, you're out of your mind. This guy does not have the ability to build the church on. See, but God doesn't look at the outward things. He looks at the inward things. And he knew Peter's potential, and he knew his heart. And even though his abilities were limited, God knew he could take him beyond his limited abilities and make him into something way beyond what he was. See, a lot of you all are in here, and you, do you ever sit around and just daydream? You dream about what you could be, what you could become, how you could become this or that or the other person? A lot of times those are idle daydreams. They're not God's daydreams, but here's what I want you to see, that a lot of times when we daydream like that, we daydream on a very limited basis, on the basis of our own limited abilities. When God says, hey, what I really want to do is I want to dream with you about what, through me, in Christ, living to the praise of my glory, what you can become, because your limited abilities are of no problem to me to help to accomplish through your life everything that I want to do. Now, with that in mind, let's look at another individual. His name is the Apostle Paul. He wasn't always the Apostle Paul. He was totally different than Peter. Paul had terrific talent, incredibly talented guy. I mean, the guy just had gifts, abilities, experiences. I mean, the guy was incredible. He had business skills, for one. He was a rabbi. He was a rabbi, and according to Jewish practice, every rabbi had to have a trade, and so Paul had a trade. His trade was making tents. He knew how to make tents. He was a good businessman. He knew how to do that and make it work for him. According to Acts 18:2, he made his living building tents and selling those tents. It was a good trade back in those days. He was a skilled businessman. The second thing I want you to see about the Apostle Paul was that he was a genius. He was a genius. He had mega intelligence. Acts 18:2 and Acts 22:3 says that he studied under Gamaliel, which was one of the greatest teachers of all. It's like being going to Harvard and going to business school at Harvard or going to college at Harvard University or Princeton University or something like that. He was among the smartest of the smart during his time. He was a genius. He was sophisticated. He possessed Roman citizenship, which for a Jew was a very unusual thing. It indicated the fact that he was a man of culture and sophistication. He was a very cultured individual. Not only that, but he was also a person who had all those things, but he also had this dark side to him. He had this dark side. And the dark side was that he had some rage inside of him, some bitterness, some hatred. And he began to take that out on what appeared to be the closest object, which was the new young church that Jesus Christ had founded. And so he was going into people's homes, actually knocking on their doors, taking people with him. He'd knock on doors. He'd go into the home. He'd drag Christians out. He'd drag them off, have them beaten, stoned. He stood there, held the coat over his arm while Stephen, in the book of Acts, while Stephen was stoned. Paul stood there and watched that take place. He was a very intelligent man. He was a brilliant man. He was a sophisticated man. He was a cultured man. But he had a dark side. Very talented, but with a dark side. And all of us, we look at some of you in here are very intelligent. One of the greatest barriers to your intelligence, to your talents, to your abilities, is the fact that you got them and you know you got them. One of the hardest things for God to do is to break people down who are mega intelligent, very smart, very intelligent, to break them down to realize that they have to take that and let God use it in His own special way. Peter, no problem. He knew he was stupid, okay? he knew he wasn't too smart. Paul's another story, and God had to break him, brought him down on the Damascus Road, made him blind for several days, and said, "Paul, I want you to understand, I'm Jesus Christ, Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, and you are, even with all your talent and ability, you are nothing, and I'm everything, and I want you to give your life serving me." And it turned Paul's total life around. He began to serve God and know the unique roadmap that God had for him. Peter had a unique roadmap. Jesus said, "Hey, on this rock, I'm going to found my church." Paul had a unique roadmap. "I'm going to take the gospel to the Gentiles because God has shown me and spoken to me about that." See, two contrasting examples of what happens there. Now, with those two examples in mind, realizing that God has a unique roadmap for you, I want to show you some ways that you can do that. Now, I look out there, and I'm looking at you, and I'm saying, "Hey, it's the last day of the conference. You guys are tired, so we're all going to stand up right here, right now. We're going to stretch. We're going to yawn. We're going to get ourselves together here, and we're going on for the second half." Okay, we're moving into the second half. Little halftime break here. All right, little halftime break. Stretch it out. Everybody up, even those of you who are trying to sleep back there, stand up, stretch it out. Okay, this time beat the person in the back, okay? If they look like they're sleeping, you can just beat them in the back. All right, now. Okay, sit down, let's go. You know, taking us back to where we were last night, we were talking about the blood of Christ and so forth, and we'll come back to all that again tonight, but the thing I want you to see is this. The thing I want you to see is that what God wants to do with our abilities, and as He's creating this unique roadmap for us, one of the things that He wants to do is He wants to take our abilities and He wants to convert those abilities. He wants to convert them from you depending on yourself to do those things to depending totally on Him to do those things and giving those things totally over to Him. When we came last night saying, you know, extreme faith is Jesus is my life and there's life in His blood and there's life in His body, we're saying, hey, it's not me, it's Him. That is convert. That is when you, at that point, you are saying, hey, I have allowed God to convert my abilities, to convert my experience, to convert my life toward His plans and His purposes. Now, when we do that, what are some principles that can practically take your abilities and take your experiences and maximize those for God's glory so that you can know where you're going or how you're going to get there? So you can know how you're going to get down that unique road that God has planned for you. And abilities is just one of those. Abilities, experiences, passions, motivations, spiritual gifts, all those things play into this. We're just looking at abilities this morning. Number one is this. Understand that everyone has unique abilities and experiences. Write this down. Everyone has, it might be in your book there, I don't know. But understand that everyone has unique abilities and experiences. A lot of times people, the reason you don't get involved, the reason you don't enter into what you believe is God's passion for you or God's design for you or God's direction for you. Watch me now. Watch this. You don't think you can do it. You feel inadequate. You think, this just could, through me, this just couldn't happen. On my campus with my friends and leading out on our campus and leading some friends to pray and starting something on our campus and really making a difference on my campus, I could never do that. I couldn't do it. I just don't have anything to offer. Jesus told a story about a guy like that once. There was a 10-talent guy, the 5-talent guy, and the 1-talent guy. And they all had different talents, all had different abilities. But the only one that Jesus rebuked was the 1-talent guy, not because he was less talented, but because he went and hid his talent instead of investing his talent. And what I'm saying to you this morning is this. You may look at yourself and say, you know, my abilities, I don't have many abilities. I don't think I have many abilities. That's wrong, by the way. We'll see that in a few minutes. But I don't have many abilities. But the truth of the matter is that God wants you to see that whatever your abilities are, He wants to use them for His glory. He wants to use them to make a difference. And it is a lie when you say, I just don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to give. Because all of us have certain talents. National studies show that the average person, watch this now, the average person possesses 500 to 700 skills. The average person has 500 to 700 skills. Some may be sharpened in the classroom. Others may be sharpened by experience. How many of you are not good at school? Okay, raise your hand. Notice I've got my hand up. I've got a doctor's degree, but I was never good at school. I hated school. I didn't learn well in school. I learn by doing. I don't learn by sitting and listening to somebody just day after day, you know? And so what the thing I want you to see is just because you're not good at school doesn't mean you don't have any abilities. Every person has 500 to 700 abilities and experiences or abilities that 500 to 700 of them that you possess. And through experience, our experiences with our skills, we begin to identify what those are. And we're going to work on that some this morning. And those unique abilities begin to show us what God's roadmap is for us as we go down the way, okay? So understand that you, each one of you, have some unique abilities and some unique skills. Everyone in here probably has 500 to 700 things that you can do because of just who you are. And we want to find out what your major ones are and begin to act on those to move down that road toward the direction that God has for you. Number two, big. This is huge. Quit comparing yourself to others. See, I mean, that's a killer. You, first thing that kills you is this. You look at yourself and you say, you know, hey, I want to do that, but I'm inadequate, so I just won't try. I just think of all the opportunities I've missed in my life because I just didn't try. Because I felt inadequate. The other thing is, a lot of times the reason I feel inadequate is because I compare myself to others. And I look at others and I say, you know, hey, I'm just really not very good at this because everybody else around me is a lot better at it. When you do that, you get your nose bloody pretty badly. Listen to this. The world says, look glamorous. This is what we do in the comparison thing. The world says, look glamorous, and we say, I look average or I'm ugly. The world says, be wealthy, and we say, hey, I'm struggling to pay for my sneakers, man. I can't, you know, I don't have any money. The world says, act macho, and we look at ourselves and say, I'm a wimp. The world says, be intelligent, and we say, I feel dumb. The world says, athletes are cool, and they make zillions of dollars, and we say, I'm spastic and trip over the gym lines. Okay. The world says rock stars are heroes, and we say, hey, I can hardly turn on my Discman, you know? So we look at ourselves, and by comparison, like Dave holding up that magazine the other night, we never measure up. You know the interesting thing about people who are movie stars, rock stars, athletes, so forth? Listen to interviews of them, every one of them feel inadequate. You know why they feel inadequate? They feel more inadequate than you do. And the reason is because they're being compared even to themselves. And they know they don't even measure up to the painted over picture of who they are on the screen and on television and all those things. So we need to quit comparing ourselves on the physical realm. We need to quit comparing ourselves in the spiritual realm. Because, you know, you're comparing yourself, I'm ugly, I'm a wimp, I'm not intelligent, I can't play anything, you know. We do that scenario. Then we come to church, and then we walk into the youth group, and there's Bobby Bible study and Priscilla prayer, you know? And you're looking at them, and you're saying, hey, you know, I don't pray well out loud. I don't know anything about the Bible. I can't even find the table of contents. And so we walk away a lot of times feeling spiritually inadequate because we don't have what it takes spiritually. Because we're comparing ourselves to others instead of saying, you know, God, what do you want to do with just me? A lot of times we accept the world's view of success and we think that's God's way of measuring success. And so therefore we always feel inferior and never feel like we're measuring up. 2 Corinthians 10:12 speaks to that. I'm going to paraphrase it. You can look it up later. You can write in your notes there. He says, quit comparing yourselves with each other, by yourselves, because that is of no value, Paul writes. It's of no value to do that. I'll tell you my struggle with that and where I began to overcome it. I went to a very prestigious Southern college. Went there to play basketball. I told you yesterday about making the 74 and then making the 47. That was sort of my academic career while I was there. I never measured up. My freshman and sophomore year, I roomed with a guy who went to prep school here in this town. And I grew up in the little town of Princeton, West Virginia, where I never even wrote a research paper until the last semester of my senior year. He'd been writing them since he was in the ninth grade. He went on to be a Fulbright scholar. I went on to get no awards. In my fraternity, I was in a fraternity with a guy who ended up being a Rhodes Scholar, which is the highest possible scholarship you could get. And so all through my academic career, I was constantly comparing myself to others and thinking, you're dumb. You're stupid. You don't have any abilities. You're not very smart. You're not as smart as these guys. And it became a point where I really had an inferiority complex about who I was intellectually. And then I came to know Christ after my freshman year. It took 2 or 3 years to kind of work through all that stuff. And finally, I came to realize, one day I began to realize, you know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, we have the mind of Christ. And I began to realize, I have the mind of Christ. It's not my mind that's important or how many brain cells are active up there or whether I can get a Fulbright scholarship or a Rhodes scholarship. It's the way God made me. And He made me unique. And He made me for a unique purpose. And He made me with a mind that can express things in simple and clear ways, not some up here someplace, but down here on the lower shelf where the cookies are easy to get to, you know? And with people who can... I can help just kind of reach out there and grab the cookies. And God just made me that way and wants to use me that way. So when I quit comparing myself and by others, all of a sudden I was free from the inferiority feelings about all that stuff. And boy, was it a great thing to be free from that. Quit comparing yourself. If you're gonna maximize your abilities, quit comparing yourself. Realize you got some unique abilities and use them. Secondly, quit comparing yourself. Number three, maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. Maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. All right, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to do a little thing for me there, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Right there in some square, I want you to just draw a square there on your sheet of paper. Just draw a square about that, you know, just that big, okay? And what I want you to do is draw that square, and then I want you to write your name in it. Okay, just write your name in your square, okay? Y'all following this okay? Nice, simple little exercise. Everybody got it? You got your square and you got your name in it? Okay, put your whole name, first name, last name. Put it in there. First name, last name. All right, now do this. Now draw another square right below it. Another square. Or beside it, somewhere there. I don't care. Below it, beside it. Now, put your pen in your other hand and write it in there. Write your name in there. Put your pen in your other hand and write it. How you doing? Hey, the first time you wrote your name, you didn't even think about it, did you? You just wrote it out. You've been doing that without thinking for years. You switch it over to the other hand, And you're feeling awkward. You're feeling kind of cramped. You're feeling like, you know, I just can't do this. This isn't comfortable to me. Why? Because if you're like me, your left hand is your strength. Your right hand is your weakness. Or for you, your right hand is your strength. Your left hand is your weakness. All of us have strengths. All of us have weaknesses. Maximize your strengths. Minimize your weaknesses. When I ask people this question, I say, you know, hey, tell me your five greatest strengths. They're going, gee, they can hardly do it. Tell me your five greatest weaknesses. Boom, 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 boom. Do you want 20? It's because we tend to focus on our weaknesses instead of focusing on our strengths. I'm saying to you, find out what your abilities are, find out what you do well, and then focus on the things where you're strong.